we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, the next hour they're going to be your views, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we'd like to know what you are certainly thinking, what you're concerned about, what you'd like to talk about. I thought maybe I'd mention briefly the pirates off the coast of Somalia, and why do we have pirates suddenly at this time in history? We haven't had them in the past, but we seem to have them now. And, of course, the reason for it is because the Central Intelligence Agency created this radical Islamic movement. They did this starting in 1980 when they went all throughout the world recruiting Islamic warriors to fight the Russians in Afghanistan. And, of course, then the CIA had an organized program to push the radical form of Islam. You must understand, there was no radical Islam in the world. It had been really more or less dead for several hundred years. There was a small group of Wahhabis who adhered to the traditional Islamic faith in Saudi Arabia, and a group known as the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. But they were fringe groups. They had very little following until the Central Intelligence Agency, in an effort to give the Islamic warriors a reason to fight, began to push this radical form of Islam. And I suspect at that time the man behind the whole thing, a man named Zbigniew Brzezinski, who organized the Trilateral Commission, was the chief foreign policy advisor to both President Carter and certainly was the instructor for our current president, Barack Obama. This was the man who instructed Obama in exactly what to say. And of course, Obama says it, and he says it very, very well, but of course he gets his orders directly from Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski. In fact, it was just about 4 weeks ago when General James Jones, who's a member of the Trilateral Commission, a retired four-star Marine general, gave a talk. It was at the security conference in Munich. And anybody want to see this? We actually have it. It was published by the Council on Foreign Relations. And according to the Council on Foreign Relations, why General James Jones, speaking, before this Munich security conference, said, basically, I want to congratulate you for having a nice tribute to Henry Kissinger yesterday, and I want you to know that I take my orders every day from Henry Kissinger. We have a chain of command in the National Security Council, and I get my orders every day from General Brent Scowcroft and Sandy Berger. In other words, who's really directing, of course, America's national security and foreign policy today? It's Henry Kissinger, and he, of course, directed it under George Bush, and he directed it under the Clintons and under the Reagans. He was the foreign secretary. He was the secretary of state under Richard Nixon, who intentionally prolonged the Vietnam War to get as many people killed as possible. Everybody wanted to end the war in 68. The North Vietnamese wanted, the South Vietnamese wanted, but Henry Kissinger didn't want it, so they prolonged the war for five bloody years. And the same man is, of course, there giving orders to our current president through the head of the National Security Council. As far as the pirates are concerned, you must understand that pirates had started to operate in the southern part of Somalia. The radical Islamists came in, they took it over, And, of course, they stopped all the piracy, but we would not have that. Suddenly, for some reason, we went in and overthrew the radical Islamists, put the Ethiopians in power, and now, of course, they can have the pirates operating. They operate out of the Ethiopian bases. People are not allowed to go in and stop the pirates and capture them. The French wanted to. We wouldn't let them, and we won't let the ships be armed so the pirates can take them. Why would you do such foolish things? Unintentionally. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number again, 1-888-464-8295. That's 1-888-464-8295 or 464-8295 right here in the Central Coast of California. We've got Kent calling from West Virginia. Hi, Kent. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
You have a question or comment?
A lot of interest to your show yesterday when you had Russ Baker or Les Baker? I don't know.
Russ Baker, yes.
Family of Secrets.
Right. Did you enjoy that program?
I really did.
And we're actually going to carry the book. And, of course, if you want to get the full text, we do talk during the breaks, and so we have it in CD or an audio tape. We think it was a very important interview. I think Russ Baker's done a great job.
Yeah. And one name he left out, which... a few years ago, I got an audio book. Jim Garrison wrote a book on the trail of the assassins, and I got an audio copy of that book. And one thing that really surprised me as I was listening to it, he described Gerald Ford as the CIA's best friend in Congress. I don't know if you ever heard that or not, but that's what Jim Garrison said. Of course, you know, you were going through the litany of names and how the CIA finagled him into the presidency. Well, there was Gerald Ford.
Well, of course, Gerald Ford was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a Mason, high-ranking Mason. So why should we be at all to be surprised that he'd be working hand in glove with the CIA, which is tied into all of these organizations? No, and Gerald Ford, of course, simply went along with the Warren Commission. He knew that they were lying, but he was very well rewarded, you know, for his treachery and deceit. I mean, he became vice president, then he became the first unelected president of the United States I have ever heard of. You know, he said he wasn't elected to the vice presidency, and he wasn't elected to the presidency, but he became the president of the United States and continued his treachery and betrayal of the American people.
He's always been sort of my favorite president, only in the sense that he was in there for so short period of time, and he seemed harmless. You know, of course, I know he wasn't, but I mean, he didn't have time to do any harm, but he seemed harmless.
Well, I don't think he was harmless at all, but these people have a different worldview, can't they? They certainly don't have any loyalty to America. They've sold their very souls for this idea of the one world government, and he simply did what his handlers told him to do. He knew, of course, he did not make the decisions. Richard Nixon was supposed to have actually appointed Nelson Rockefeller to be vice president. After they hounded Spiro Agnew out of the vice presidency, Richard Nixon knew that would be the end of his presidency. He'd probably be killed. That's why he picked Gerald Ford, didn't it? Of course, well, back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were just talking with Kent from West Virginia about Gerald Ford and his presidency. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, Gerald Ford became the vice president. He was both a Mason and a 32nd or 33rd degree Mason. I'm not sure which. But Gerald Ford was picked by Richard Nixon to become the vice president because, first of all, they targeted. There was an organized effort to get rid of Spiro Agnew. If you've never read Spiro Agnew's book, Go Quietly or Else. And they told him, they came up with some trumped-up charges on him for embezzling money, and then they threatened to send his wife to prison and him to prison if he did not resign as vice president. That was the reason for the title of his book, Go Quietly or Else. So after they got rid of Spiro Agnew, well, of course, the Richard Nixon was supposed to have appointed Nelson Rockefeller to the vice presidency, and Nixon knew that once he'd done that, his life would not be safe at all. He realized that they would kill him. And so instead of doing what he was ordered and instructed to do, Richard Nixon appointed Gerald Ford, vice president. Well, of course, then, of course, comes Watergate and the effort to destroy Nixon. That was his punishment. And, of course, he did escape with his life. Certainly, Gerald Ford becomes the president. And, of course, he's got to do what he's supposed to do. He appoints, of course, Nelson Rockefeller as his vice president. There's an unsuccessful attempt, at least one, on Gerald Ford's life. Maybe there were two of them. But, of course, Nelson Rockefeller never became president. And he never forgave Gerald Ford. In fact, he wrote a book entitled, I Never Wanted to Be Vice President of Anything. Now, you see, being Vice President of the United States was not enough for him. He was a Rockefeller. He was entitled to be president. And, of course, that terrible Richard Nixon had cheated him out of his chance to be the president. That's how the system really works. And certainly, Gerald Ford, simply having betrayed the American people when he was on the Warren Commission and having gone along with all the falsehoods that were put forward, Gerald Ford. He said he was only there for one term and then, of course, was replaced. So, anyway, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you would like to give us a call. But do you remember who actually replaced Gerald Ford?
Well, as president, you mean...
As president, yeah.
Congressional seat?
No, Gerald Ford actually was defeated in the effort for re-election by Jimmy Carter. And, of course, Jimmy Carter came from the Trilateral Commission. There were only about 80 members of the Trilateral Commission at that time. In other words, Americans who were members of the North American group or the North American segment of the Trilateral Commission. 28 of them were in high positions in the Carter administration. I heard Jim Mars on a History Channel program the other day, who said he had interviewed Burt Lance, who was a close friend of Jimmy Carter's, and mentioned the Trilateral Commission, and Burt Lance had shaken his head and smiled and said, you know, everybody on the cabinet was a member of the Trilateral Commission except me, and I'm not there anymore. But that's, of course, that's what really goes on behind the scenes, but they can't let the American people know that the electoral process is totally fraudulent, that they buy and sell the congressmen, and that they run a candidate on the Republican ticket and a candidate on the Democratic ticket, and then we vote for the candidate of their choice.
The way the media really really propelled Jimmy Carter to the presidency. You remember he won by maybe 300 votes in Iowa, and all of a sudden they just couldn't get him off the news. You couldn't turn around and see his picture and hear about him, you know, so the media really made him. So.
Well, they did the same thing with Barack Obama, though. His picture was on the cover of Time magazine, at least according to Pat Wood, five or six times in the year leading up to the election. His picture was on the cover of Newsweek magazine several times, and certainly on the picture of U.S. News and World Report. He was pushed by this little cabal that runs our government, and today 11 current or former members of the Trilateral Commission hold the key positions in the Obama administration, and nobody in the media is going to tell you that. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go ahead, Ken.
And Burt Lance, you were talking about, I remember they just couldn't do, they just hounded him, and I just remember that. Of course, I didn't know the inside details, but that explains it, you know, him not being with the in-group, you know. But I lived in Washington, and just made such a big deal. He was an outsider, you know, this hick banker from Georgia or something.
Oh, I think that, you know, because the funniest thing about Jimmy Carter was his idea. I will never lie to you, he told the American people. I will never lie to you. Everything he did was a lie. And, of course, he was supposedly the people voted for him because he was a simple peanut farmer. He was an outsider. He had nothing to do with the Washington establishment. And, of course, the truth of the matter was the Washington establishment, or the Eastern establishment, put him in power. He appointed their people to surround him. And then, of course, when Ronald Reagan ran, he promised that he would, you know, investigate the Trilateral Commission. He'd never have their people in key positions. And then he put one of their key members in as the vice president. And even invited them to come to the White House, the members of the Trilateral Commission, for a special dinner that's included in David Rockefeller's book, memoirs. And here, Ronald Reagan, I mean, this great conservative president inviting the people, the members of the North American group, the Trilateral Commission, to the White House, and David Rockefeller just sort of chortles in his book. And I think chortling at how naive the American people could be. They really believed that Ronald Reagan would never have these people in key positions. And yet, of course, the man who really ran the White House was George Herbert Walker Bush, a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers. I mean, he was the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency. And, of course, in that interview we had yesterday with Russ Baker on his book, The Family of Secrets, George Bush had been affiliated with the CIA for at least 20 years before he became the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. But they did everything they could to conceal that from the American people. That's why that book is so important, and incidentally, we will be carrying it.
Well, thanks, Dr. Stan.
Our God, thank you so very much for calling. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, if you have something you'd like to talk about, why, give us a call, because that's what Open Lines is all about. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, certainly the economy, we're told, why, things are really looking better as far as the housing houses are concerned. The prices of houses was up just a little bit this last month. But then, of course, we're also told that there are more foreclosures than ever before. So how can things be looking better on the housing market? And then we find out there, 15 or 20% more foreclosures last month than a comparable time of last year. And you have to understand there's a plan program to confuse you. And they are experts at it. They'll tell you one thing, and then they'll tell you exactly the opposite. It's sort of like President Obama, where he says, I am concerned about your privacy. I mean, we want to protect your privacy, and so we're going to put your medical records up on the Internet so everybody can read them to have a more efficient medical system. Well, how can you have privacy and have, of course, medical records up on the Internet? I mean, President Obama has said, you know, as far as the torture is concerned, why, we certainly, we have violated our moral precepts. We cannot be a great nation and violate our moral precepts. But we're not going to do anything to the people who suddenly committed these terrible acts of torture, even torturing our innocent and helpless prisoners to death. We don't know whether they were guilty or innocent. They just tortured them to death. But we can't do anything. We've got to move on. So what are you supposed to believe? I mean, is he really concerned about torture? Are we going to stop torturing people? Or are they simply going to send them overseas to be tortured and ship them to places like Saudi Arabia or Jordan or other countries where they will torture them, but we can say, well, we don't torture them at all. We just send people to other countries to be tortured. How can a nation maintain its moral fabric when we have a president who says one thing and then he does another? In other words, I think the people who carried out the acts of torture should be held responsible, exactly as the Nazi guards in the prison camps were held responsible for what they did. Of course, a lot of that was just showbiz. So many of the people, the Nazi guards were tried, but the major Nazi criminals, war criminals, many of them were brought here to the United States and given plus jobs. Between 10,000 and 60,000 were actively helped by our Central Intelligence Agency to escape to South America in something known as the RAT line. RAT line. You can look this up on the Internet. I don't want you to take anything I say as gospel. I want you to check it out. But, of course, here we have a four-tape set on Operation Paperclip, and it touches on the RAT line. But there's a great deal of information, no question. We actually concealed where these people were. The CIA wouldn't let the Israelis who were trying to trap down the Nazi war criminals, they wouldn't let them know where they were. They knew where Klaus Barbie was, and of course Eichmann and all the others, certainly Bormann and Mengele, but they would not let the Israelis know because they would have gone there and killed them. Why, we couldn't do that. They were our good friends. And you have to understand, there are powerful alliance between the occult forces within our CIA and the occult forces within the Nazi movement. The entire Nazi movement was energized by the occult. but there is an occult segment within our own Central Intelligence Agency, and this is not that everybody's there is a bad person. Most people have no idea what's really going on. Most people in the FBI are good people, but there's an occult section there. After all, certainly J. Edgar Hoover was a 33rd degree Mason and a homosexual, but you're never going to hear that. He was supposedly a pro-American anti-communist leader, but so often reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. Our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. Well, we've got Susan calling from the Freedom Forum and wants to close the program. Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Dr. Sand, for letting Freedom Forum announce on the air. We have a...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
the number of young people who will be serving in this, I think maybe up to about 150, in this voluntary movement, of course, where they're going to, and certain that they're going to be doing a certain amount of public service. I do not feel it's the purpose of the federal government to recruit people into public service. I don't even believe it should be the responsibility of the state. I think that should be the responsibility of the city or the county if they want to have a program like that, but there is no justification for a federal program. Is not certainly in the Constitution. There's no justification for this in the Constitution. And all powers not specifically given to the United States by the Constitution or reserved to it by the states are to be left to the states and the people. That's what it says in the Tenth Amendment, which Barack Obama has sworn on a Bible to uphold, and he doesn't believe in the Constitution. That's the tragedy.
Is there anything happening with this civilian police force idea that he has?
Right, absolutely. All these ideas, basically, Barack Obama is the dedicated socialist. But remember, right. It is the people of great wealth who put him in power. He did not get to be the president on his own. I mean, the major banks, of course, which he criticizes and... But that's all showbiz. They're the people who gave him his money, and of course they're the people who told him who to put in key positions. And he has 11 of the 87 members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission in the key positions in the National Security Council, both the National Security Advisor and the First Deputy, in the State Department, in the Ambassador of the United Nations. Go right down the list. The people from the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, are in all the key positions in the government today.
Yes. I just have one more question, Dr. Stein. What does our Constitution say about what the American citizens should do when they have government leaders who are usurping the authority of the Constitution?
Well, it doesn't say what we should do. The Constitution simply tells us what the laws are. But I believe we have, first of all, we have to educate the people. I mean, certainly resorting to arms is not the solution because the majority of the people don't understand what freedom's all about. This is why we stress the importance of learning the Constitution. This is why we have Pastor David Whitney on every month talking about the Constitution, the Institute of the Constitution, the program that Michael Perutka has put together so that people can be educated. And it's really an exciting thing to know that all across America, why people are attending these courses and learning, and you're never going to hear about that from Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or any of the other so-called phony conservatives. Anything else?
Thank you very much.
God bless. Thanks so much. And let's go to Herman, who's calling from Carmel. I'll see if my assistant can put him through. Doesn't look like he's going to put him through, so we'll go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. We'll get to Herman in just a moment. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Last night, you talked about the connection between Jack Ruby and Richard Milhouse Nixon. That's very interesting. It makes sense in a way that he... What was he doing in 1960? He lost the election to Kennedy, but what was the real reason why he lost the election to Kennedy? Is it because of the mob?
I really can't tell you, Sidney. There are all sorts of explanations were given. But Kennedy was had a lot of charisma. He had a nice means of presentation. He was very, very handsome. And I really believe it because Richard Nixon was not a very handsome little guy. And he had a reputation here in California. He was known as Tricky Dick or Slippery Dick. People really did not trust him at all.
I never liked Nixon.
I believe this is the reason Kennedy won, and of course it cost Kennedy his life.
Why?
Because Kennedy was not the... simply he wanted to do things his way, and you don't do that when you're president. And if Barack Obama tries to do what he thinks is right, why, of course, they'll kill him, just like they did Jack Kennedy. And they got away with it. Incidentally, Ray is speaking of the interview we did with Russ Baker yesterday on the book Family of Secrets, going into the background of the Bush and family and their relationship to the secret society and, of course, their relationship to this small establishment that really runs our nation. So the book really is quite good. If you'd like to get the interview, it's available through Radio Liberty, and the book will be available to A Family of Secrets. We're going to carry it. We think it's an important book. Russ did a real good job on that. Anything else you wanted to
I wanted to make one statement about concerning Nixon. I had the distinction of going to a McGovern rally in 1972. He was a fundraiser for the Democratic Party. And
hold that thought there, Ray. We'll be back in just a moment. Okay, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Ray on the line. Ray, what were you going to say?
I was at this fundraiser for McGovern, and I remember Thomas Eagleton came up to speak, and not too long after that incident, you know, that rally that I went to, of course, Eagleton was smeared. I mean, it was very clever thing that they did. They accused him of, they said that he had mental problems. You know, that was the thing. And
they said he had been a manic depressive.
Yeah,
he had shock therapy. It was because he had shock therapy that they insisted that, that he drop out of the race for the vice presidency.
He was part of the Dirty Trick Squad. Sure. That Nixon had the Dirty Trick Squad. Who was the member of that? There was a couple of members of that one. You mentioned last night a couple people, E. Howard Hunt and
probably Liddy and some of the others.
Did
you have a point you wanted to make, Ray?
Hmm?
Did you have a point you wanted to make?
Well, the point is that, you know, whenever you have a president that has the kind of power that Nixon had, and of course a few other presidents had as much power, he was connected, you know, with so many, with the mafia and everything, and you know, whenever you have a president with that kind of power, like we have now with President Obama firing the head of General Motors, which is unprecedented, all kinds of things could happen, you know.
Well, we are in real trouble as a nation, Ray, but our job at the present time is to educate the American people about the Constitution and point out that we have all sorts of lawbreakers and subversives in government, and that the major force behind our government are people who hate America, that they want to transfer our manufacturing and our jobs and our wealth to other countries. It's all laid out, of course, in the Earth Charter, but this is what globalism is all about, the transfer of our wealth to other countries, and that is the objective and goal of the Trilateral Commission. And since 1976, between 1976 and 2008, every United States president and or vice president was a member of the Trilateral Commission. How could that have happened by accident? It didn't happen by accident. They control our government. They control the media, they control the banks, but they can't let the common people know because they wouldn't understand. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Ray, do you have anything to say before we let you go?
Before I, you know, get off and let somebody else have their turn, the internet, I've heard some talk about an internet czar, a kind of a government control of the internet.
Well, I think they'd like to, and
really,
let's hope that they don't do it, but who knows what's going to happen, because the people in the Washington, D.C. today hate the internet. Why? Because we can get the truth there, and they do not want people to be able to get the truth off of the internet or shortwave or radio. They're moving towards a fascist society. They have a different worldview. and they hate this idea of a constitution and any limitation being placed on the power of the elite. Hey, thanks very much for calling, and let's go to Herman calling from Carmel. Hi, Herman. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I'd like to refer to a article that I happened to pick up on the Internet, but it was published in the British newspaper Daily Mail last year, and it was written by a former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, and he mentioned that between 2002 and 2004, when he was there, and they had this freedom or friendship bridge between Afghanistan and Uzbekistan, and all of these jeeps were coming across with their windows painted black, carrying opium in transshipment to Russia and then to the Western countries. And he was bemoaning the fact that the British were sending troops to Afghanistan to basically protect an increased opium crop. And I presume this is still happening. And here we are, the greatest military nation in the world. We can bomb, you know, Saddam Hussein into the sand, and yet we cannot eradicate an opium crop
in Afghanistan. Well, Herman, I'm sure you know we're not trying to eradicate the opium crop. When the Taliban were there, they could shut off the opium, but we can't, and the reason we can't is because our troops are not allowed to, and the reason they're not allowed to is because the CIA is the largest purveyor of drugs anywhere in the world. Now, certainly we have documentation on that. We have a great four-tape set entitled, Is There Really a War on Drugs? We carry, of course, the book Into the Buzzsaw, the contains an essay written by Gary Webb, who had written about the CIA and the drugs involvement here in the United States. And, of course, he's the fellow who ended up committing suicide by shooting himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. And then, of course, I think we still probably have some copies of Monica Jensen Stevenson's long-suppressed book, and even many copies of her shredded, entitled Kiss the Boys Goodbye and the CIA Involvement in Drugs there during Vietnam. We have our interviews with Monica Jensen Stevenson talking about the CIA drugs and her husband, who laughed at her until somebody from MI6 came over and said, well, everybody in the world knows the CIA is involved in drugs. You'll hear those interviews. It's called her book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye, and then the four-tape set is called The Men We Left Behind. The Men We Left Behind. And we abandoned those boys over there to rot there, thanks to Henry Kissinger, who now gives orders every day to our President of the United States. If you want the documentation on that, we have the article from the Council on Foreign Relations, telling you the text of General James Jones' speech to the Security Conference in Munich, where he says, I take my orders every day from Henry Kissinger. He didn't add Henry Kissinger, who betrayed between 1,000 and 2,000 American personnel and left them to die a slow and painful death, hopeless, without hope, there in Vietnam and Laos. But go ahead. Do you have anything else you have to say, Herman?
Well, the other thing is that, you know, if you ask the average American, why are we in Afghanistan, they really don't know. And just like with this bailout plan, $1 trillion to pump the economy, the listeners that are out there, do you ever ask yourself, where is this money coming from? Does this money have to be paid back? I mean, this is an incredible amount of money.
Well, basically, it took the United States approximately 200 years to accumulate $1 trillion in debt from 1787, 1789 to 1980. During this coming year, under President Obama, the national debt will increase probably at least $2 trillion, if not $2.5 trillion in one single year. We're on a road to oblivion, as they say. $1 million here, $1 million there, pretty soon you're talking about really real money. And, of course, the appendage to that is $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there, and pretty soon you're talking about worthless money. And they're going to do to the United States what the United States State Department did to Zimbabwe and destroy the value of our currency. It's only a matter of time. Anything else, Herman?
Well, in that case, then our listeners had better start preparing.
I hope that they will. That's why I do what I do 5 hours a day. I can't get on a horse and ride and say the Redcoats are coming, but I can get on the radio and say the Trilateral Commission controls our government, and you better find out what's going on. We do have, incidentally, the membership list and the syllabus, the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness, who is in the Trilateral Commission, the Group of 30, the Bilderbergers, and, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations. America's invisible government. Some of these people don't know what it's about, but believe me, the leaders do. And there is an intense hatred of America. There's a desire to create a one-world government, and behind that are the powerful spirits of forces that energizes them. Anyway, thanks very much for calling. Anything else, Herman?
No, that's it.
God bless, and thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Nathan, who's calling from Syracuse, New York. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Nathan. How are you doing?
Yes, I'd like to ask a question about the torture and the papers and stuff that came out. I think you said that people that should be prosecuted for doing that.
Right. I mean, you're talking about torture. Yes, I think that they should be.
Well, how is the military supposed to interrogate enemies? I mean, enemies to the United States, how are they supposed to interrogate them?
There are standard techniques of interrogation that work far better than torture. And we have a number of articles by people in the military who didn't want to be involved in torture. They knew it was counterproductive. There are standard techniques that you use when you have a good guy and a bad guy, but suddenly you do it with rewards. And believe me, if you have people and you torture them, they're not going to tell you the truth. They're going to give you false information. They're going to give you whatever you want to. A moral country does not torture people. Maybe you think torture is all right. I don't. We've never done this before, but we're doing it today because we have lost our moral foundation. And what's really disturbing to me is the religious leaders of this country have steadfastly refused to speak out and criticize George Bush because he pretended to be a born-again Christian, and he's as phony as a $3 bill, and that's one of the things.
From what I understand, they take a hose and they stick it down their throat, and then they turn the water on.
No, that's a different. It's not done exactly like that, but they simulated drowning.
Yeah, but I heard the papers and I heard what was in them, but
Well, how do you feel about taking electric wires and putting them around men's genitalia? How do you feel about that?
If somebody was an enemy,
and it's all right to do it if it's an enemy.
No, if they were an enemy and they were to be, you're going to get extract information from them.
Yeah, so it's all right.
That's the way to do it. But
wait a minute. It's all right to torture people then if they're the enemy.
I heard that put them in a box and they put some bugs in there.
Well, I tell you, I would suggest you read Major General Taguba's report. Major General Taguba was asked to investigate what happened at Abu Ghraib. And one of the things they did was put electric wires and simply electrocute, burn, shock the genitalia. How do you feel about that sort of thing, Nathan? Do you think that's justified? And what about if they capture our men? Is it all right for them to torture us? And if the federal government wants to torture people here in America, is that all right? Because they might be enemies of the state? I mean,
It doesn't kill them.
What happens when you torture them to death? Because they actually tortured some people to death. Was that all right?
I don't know if they tortured them to death.
Yes, they did. They tortured several of them to death. How do you feel about that, Nathan?
Well, I feel that's murder.
It is murder. What sort of a human being are you that can actually advocate torture in the hope of getting something, information? A lot of these people had given all the information. The people in the military did not want to waterboard them. They were ordered to waterboard these people even after they'd given all the information. How do you feel about that?
Well, are you saying that since Israel allows what you call torture, that people should get onto a bus and blow it up?
I believe that Israel should not authorize torture, and I don't think we should. But why bring up Israel? We're talking about America. I think that anybody who advocates torture is really, of course, has lost their moral foundation. Now, you may disagree with me. You may think it's all right to be tortured, but I wonder what would have happened if it was you or somebody in your family.
You're just playing word games now.
No, I'm not playing word games. I'm saying there are moral standards for which society has existed a long period of time, and you want to justify torture? You've been watching too much television. Anyway, thanks very much for calling. Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Flint, Michigan. Go ahead, Mark. Let's see, who do we have? All right, is this Mark from Flint, Michigan?
Yes, it is.
Okay, go right ahead.
Yes, good evening, sir. You made a statement a little bit ago about our primary job being to educate the American people about the Constitution and what it says. A few years ago, I read a study that showed that the average second-year law school student did not have the vocabulary or the reading ability to understand the Constitution.
You may very well be right. I mean, certainly they've deliberately dumbed down our children. They have not taught them phonics. They have not taught them to think. And actually, they've damaged many of their minds with vaccines, the mercury in the vaccines, the aluminum in vaccines, the other thing in the vaccine. They've dumbed them down because, of course, aspartame has an effect on the mind. They've dumbed them down because of fluoride, certainly lowers the IQ. And then we wonder why our kids can't think.
All that stuff.
Right, Chris.
Yeah, that's my business is health and wellness. And, so, you know, I won't get into all that right now, but, it's just when we look at all the things, that they put into our foods these days, like high fructose corn syrup. Oh, it won't hurt you. No, but I think it's, 60% of all high fructose corn syrup has traces of mercury.
Right,
and that is a neurotoxin.
You're absolutely
and that
right.
Causes problems in the brain, dumbs us down, and all sorts of other stuff. But anyways, when we want to go and educate people about what the Constitution of the United States actually says and what our rights are according to the Constitution, then would you think that as a precursor to that actual education on the Constitution, we should actually give them real education first?
Absolutely, but we have to start with what we've got. So, I mean, we've got to try to educate our children. We've got to start to educate our lawyers. We've got to start educating our adults. They just don't know, and I certainly agree with you. We need to give our kids a good education, but you're not going to get it in public schools. And then, of course, when we're, of course, putting hydrofluorosilicic acid into the water supply, probably at least 50% of this country, and it contains lead and polonium-220 and all sorts of other toxins. And we know, for instance, that in it actually increases the lead level in the blood of black children 6 times more. It only doubles the incidence of lead. There's no safe level of lead, you know, in the blood because it's toxic to the brain. And yet, of course, the use of hydrofluorosilicic acid, which is used in most instances of water fluoridation, increases the lead level in the blood of white children, doubles it, in Hispanic children 4 times, in black 6 times. And if you check out what happens to those communities, this is the area where, of course, you see the black children, young men, involved in all sorts of violent crime. And that's one reason I believe that 1 in 3 young black men between 21 and 31 is in prison, probation, or parole. And why aren't Jesse Jackson and Sidney, some of the other Roy Sharpton, why aren't they out talking about this? And, of course, the truth of the matter is they're shills for the establishment. The last thing they want, of course, is for the black people to realize that they've been targeted by the establishment. Anything
that's
else
right,
you wanted to say?
Right. Just one thing. I just had a brain cramp. My bubble burst. I don't know what it was.
Okay,
so,
God bless
you. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
Thank you so much. And let's
have a great night.
You too.
I had too much mercury today.
Well, you just got to get those mercury fillings out of your mouth because they are poisoning you. Well, let's go to Ken calling from New York. My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And hi, Ken, do you have a question or comment?
Good evening, Doctor. Yeah, a couple of things about some strange deaths. And I'll start with the recent one. I'd like to get your opinion. Today, it was early this morning, actually, David Kellerman, the former CFO of Freddie Mac, found dead in his home. I find that kind of interesting. I read the AP story. I think it was an AP story. And Fairfax County Police responded, and they say right away it's an apparent suicide.
Well, what's an apparent suicide? In other words, they didn't say it was a suicide. Well, it says apparent suicide. We don't think we'll want to investigate it. I mean, I don't know what it was. It could very well be that he was despondent. It could be that they were simply getting rid of him because he knew too much. It's sort of like the Colby, the director of the
right.
CIA, retired, you know. And he, mm-hmm. you know, they
was going to write a book.
Obviously, he was assassinated. But then, I mean, there are even questions that J. Edgar Hoover was assassinated, as we know that they killed Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy, and we know that they killed Jack Kennedy. We have a great new 4-tape set, a 4-CD set called Deadly Assassins. You'll hear the interviews with some of the assassins and people who've interviewed the assassins. Fellow who actually was employed to kill General Patton. You'll hear the interview with the fellow who interviewed him. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So I don't know what to make out of what happened here as far as this fellow from Fannie Mae is concerned. Maybe
Freddie Mac.
Maybe he killed himself, or maybe we didn't. I don't know.
Well, the story's interesting in that the Fairfax County Police said there were people present at his home.
Right.
They found his body.
Well, that makes you sort of wonder, doesn't it? Hey, hang on for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we've got Ken on from New York. Go right ahead, Ken. Do you have anything else, any thoughts on it?
Yes, well, I was on NYPD for a spell back in the 80s.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Maybe I should have given him more chance to talk. Maybe he wanted to call in next week, and I'll give him more of a chance to justify the torture that goes on. But I'll have to admit that I feel it's simply a sign of the degeneracy of our society. And of course, as Thomas Jefferson had said so well, God who gave us life gave us liberty. But can the liberty of a nation survive if the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. I don't wonder if God really approves American people, American officials, ordering people to be tortured, and sometimes they've been tortured to death. And there have been a number of instances in this where they've frankly been tortured to death, and many of these people didn't have anything to say. They were innocent, but they simply tortured them anyway. And you have to wonder, what sort of illness is there that pervades every aspect of our society? And it is not our whole society. There really are people out there who are evil, who worship a different God. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. If you can't afford the book, go to our website, radioliberty.com. Scroll down to videos. Scroll down the videos to Brotherhood of Darkness and watch the talk. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand what's really going on, the talk, Forbidden Secret, is important. It's on a DVD, and there's a syllabus that goes with that and explains some of George Bush's speeches. What he was really saying when he talked about when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What's the new order of the ages? Why, it's the Novo Ordo Seclorum, which is, of course, inscribed beneath the pyramid on the back of our dollar bill. It's this coming world government that has been the goal of the mystery religions and the secret societies for at least 3,000 to 4,000 years, and you're never going to hear about it, and yet the people who control our government today are determined to use the current economic crisis to bring about this one world government, and they plunge the whole world into chaos, and of course, we're in for very, very difficult times. We got a great new 4-CD set, Deadly New Assassins. If you haven't seen our DVD with Dr. Blaylock, Vaccines and the brain development, you need to get that. You need to get the information on vaccines, Neil Miller's little book, Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective, and his other little book on autism. That vaccines, are they safe and effective? And, of course, autism. But, of course, we've got a great new 4-CD set, Vaccine Update 2009. Vaccine Update 2009. You need to get the information. If we could get the American mothers to realize that they're destroying the lives of their children, today 150 to 160 American children are autistic, but you don't see it in the Amish children who do not take the vaccines. If you want to get the documentation, the scientific documentation on how they're destroying the minds of our children, the best source I know is our DVD, Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda by David Ayoub. And there you'll get a free, along with the DVD, a CD-ROM, with literally thousands of pages of scientific material. They know that, of course, they're poisoning our children with the mercury. They just don't want you to know that they know. And the reason they're doing this is because they hate children. They have a different agenda because they worship a different God. You need to get our material on Satanic Crimes. It's an excellent book, and the four tapes that goes with that. Satanic Crimes is excellent. And then go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day and not get anything accomplished. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so we'll be back in just a moment here for the next hour. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our guest this next hour is Eric Barger. We're going to be talking about the emergent church. And Chris, as you know, if you've read any of my material, I believe that there is an organized effort to destroy the religious and moral foundation of this nation, to create a one-world government, a one-world economic system, and a new world religion. And, of course, this is really what it's all about. They've infiltrated the evangelical movement here in America. They've infiltrated the Catholic Church. They're trying to destroy the very foundation of Christianity. Now, they already have the liberal churches. You go back and study what happened in America. The pilgrims came here in, about 1820, somewhere in there, and of course they set up the colony at Plymouth by this was 1620. By 1640, 1645, they were actually building Harvard University, and it was, of course, there to train men to become ministers of the gospel. And very shortly after, Harvard was organized by the wicked people who hated Christianity took it over. So they built a Yale University with the idea that it was going to train ministers of the gospel to go out and spread the word. And soon it was taken over by the people who hate Christianity. And first later, Princeton was organized as well, and the same thing happened there. But certainly, there's always been these forces in America who want to destroy Christianity, but they have never, of course, been as flagrant or as prominent as they are today. And certainly, you have to understand the people who control Time magazine and Newsweek magazine and U.S. News World Report hate Christianity and they hate Judaism, and they really want to destroy the religious framework and fabric of our society. Well, Eric Barger is a friend. We've known Eric for many years. We've done speaking engagements with him in the past, and since we last saw him, he's done a lot of work on research on one of the most prominent and successful so-called Christian books of our time, a book called The Shack. Well, we put that off perhaps to another time, but we're going to talk this evening about a movement that is sweeping evangelical movement, the evangelical church, called the Emergent Church. Eric, thank you so very much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, it's great to be with you. Good to talk to you, and just glad to be back on the program.
Well, I want you to tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and why you're concerned about the emergent church. After all, some of the people that Time magazine tells us are the leading Christian leaders of this country, the most prominent Christian leaders of this country, support this idea of the emergent church and creating a better world. And who can be against creating a better world?
Well, first of all, I usually don't read Time to figure out who the good preachers are. And I suggest that the listeners don't do that as well. But what I do is I do a series of seminars in churches and Christian schools and conferences around the country. I travel 100 days a year and deal with current issues and their effects on the cult, and primarily deal with the cult, the occult, apologetics, issues inside the church. I am extremely interested in what's going on inside church circles. And the way
hold that for just a minute, Eric. We're having a little trouble with our board. Go right ahead.
Okay, are you there now?
We're doing fine. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm very concerned about what's going on inside church circles, and as I travel, as I said, full time across the U.S. and Canada, and I present the seminars I do in churches and Christian schools, the reaction is varied because so many people have already been desensitized, and I think the main problem with, in fact, the reason that liberalism took over our seminaries and denominations 100 to 150 years ago, and the very same thing taking place today in so-called evangelical circles, is happening because people don't have a high regard for the Bible. It all comes back to, do we respect the Word of God? Do we lift up the Word of God as inerrant, and will we follow it? And that's the bottom line.
Amen to that. And of course, there are people who hate God, and a lot of them are teaching in the leading Protestant and Catholic seminaries today. Eric, go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, I think the encroachment of the emergent church really does come out of something called the new liberalism. We can look back and see the roots of this thing in the Young Leadership Network less than 20 years ago. And they began to question the validity of the Word of God and question the standards that the church had always followed. And the doctrines of the church, it really does come back to the idea of, will they follow the doctrines that Christianity has been built on? And there are many different leaders in the emergent church movement who are successful authors and trying to convince the church to follow them and to follow what they are saying. But literally to a man, and women in some cases, these people do not believe the Bible. They believe the church and it's the standard that has been set forth by those that came before us, especially what is said in the Scripture, is counterproductive, and that somehow in this modern time, in this so-called postmodern generation, that we need a more warm and more subjective look at Scripture rather than the cold, hard facts that have been delivered to us in the past. They suppose that because of the postmodern generation, the 20-something people that are out there today, and because of the lack of being churched in so many cases, they believe that we have to change our methods and change our message to be able to attract these people. Of course, that is completely flawed thinking from the very get-go. We are living in the very end of the end days. Of course, emergents don't believe in those kind of things, but we are living in the end of times. And I believe the world is going to get more calloused, and that it's going to get darker and darker in these end days. And that's not just a negative outlook. I believe that's a biblical and a factual outlook as well. And the emergent church leaders just believe that we need to change, and thus those who follow their teaching will never have a square shot at being able to be saved and hear the authentic gospel. We want everybody to come into church. I mean, I certainly do. I know you do. We'd love to see the whole world clamoring after God, but in the days we live in the times we're in the biblical time that we're in, that's not going to be the case. And the emergent church has come along with a new twist on liberalism and is attracting millions and millions of people in the very short time that it's been around. It's also infecting many of the denominations. I've been speaking this week in a very biblical Nazarene church in Missouri, yet many Nazarene churches have been taken over, as have Southern Baptist churches, Assembly of God churches, and so many others. Where the gospel was once upheld and lifted up as the way, the truth, and Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Eric goes all across the country teaching about what's going on, about really what's happening about the emergent church movement, which, of course, has the full support of Time magazine. When Time magazine lists the 25 leading Christian leaders of our time, you know that these men are not to be trusted. Certainly, when they pick Rick Warren, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a man who's done everything he could to undermine Christian doctrine, as the leader of the evangelical Christian church today. Remember, Time magazine, the people who own it, hate Christianity, and the same thing is true with Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report. When you understand that, there is an organized effort to destroy faith in the Bible, and of course to do away with the belief in the inerrancy of the scriptures. And of course, really, of course, religion is whatever you want it to be, how you feel about it. It has to do with feelings, not with the Word of God. And they want to basically change the very meaning of the Christian faith, of the nature of God, his virgin birth, his death, his resurrection, his atonement for our sins. They want to change all of that, and they want to destroy our faith in the Bible and to destroy our faith in Christianity. And once you do that, then, of course, what is there? Well, of course, somebody once said, you know, people who disbelieve in Christianity, it's not that they don't believe in anything. They believe, don't believe in, they will actually accept any creed, and this is what's happening. And so many of these people are being drawn into environmentalism and do-goodism. Behind that are powerful spiritual forces. And it's a very short step from the atheism of disbelief into embracing the occultism, which is one of the leading religions in the world today. And most people don't even understand its impact on every aspect of our society and its connection with the organizations, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, the rules our nation today, which is founded in the occult. So you go right ahead, Eric.
Well, all that is accurate and true, and I say an amen to all of it. So if folks want to understand what emergent Christianity, and really putting those two terms together is almost like saying Christian cocaine, and how do you say emergent and Christianity in the same sentence? But they would claim to be Christians, and they would claim that the church has never had a hold on what the words that are in the Bible actually mean, and that they suddenly, 20 centuries later, have suddenly discovered the meaning of all these words and of what Jesus was saying, and we'll get into a little of that in a minute. But if people want to understand what they're doing, they want experience to be more important than reason, spirituality be more important than doctrine and absolutes, images to take preeminence over words, feelings over truth, earthly justice more important than salvation, and social action to trump eternity. That's what the emergent leaders want. They want the journey. In fact, they become enamored with the whole journey, but without knowing where their destination is. Some of these emergent leaders, Dr. Stan, have gone so far as to say, we're not exactly sure where we're going, but we want people to get on the road and go with us. And frankly, I know where we're going if we're Christians and believe in Jesus and we have repented of our sins. I know that our eternal destination is heaven. I don't want to follow anybody who has no clue where they're going, but there seems to be a lot of people willing to do that.
I agree with you, Eric, and I think the movement is becoming ever more prevalent, and the average individual doesn't understand. They've infiltrated our seminaries. I mean, many of the people who get up, you know, ministers looking for a new church, will say what the parishioners want to hear, but they don't believe in it. They believe, of course, what Christianity is all about is social activity and, of course, remaking the world and certainly worshiping not God, but the earth. Earth becomes the center of so much of what's going on. And these are basically just hashed over paganism. And yet, of course, these are being practiced in some of the largest churches in the United States today. And when I see even in one of our local churches, them bringing in the author of The Shack, who actually doesn't believe in Christianity at all, and yet he's presented in one of our largest churches and largest Christian schools, it's his wonderful book all about Christianity and about what God is all about. Why would Christians present something like that in our churches? Are they beguiled? Do they not understand that there's a conspiracy against God? And unfortunately,
Dr. Stan, people just aren't willing to open the Bible. It comes back to if we don't test every voice and everything that comes along that claims to be a spokesman for God, if we don't test it, we'll be deceived. It is a biblical thing to test by the Word of God to see, and not whether a person's sincere, not whether they're a good author or a flashy speaker, but whether they're following the Word of God. One of the emergent leaders is named Brian McLaren. He's written 11 books at this point. In his book called The Generous Orthodoxy, he makes a statement that goes right along with what you just said. For the first time, he says, through the Eastern Jesus, I believe to have a glimpse of how Jesus would indeed be the Savior of not just a few individual humans, but of the whole world, end quote. Now, so that's not confused. He does something that's very rare in publishing. He makes a footnote in his own book to clarify what he's written. And in a footnote on page 65 of his book, he states, quote, by the whole world, I do not necessarily mean every individual in it, but rather I mean the cosmos, creation, the earth, and history. I went and heard Brian McLaren last year for 3 days in a conference. First of all, it was shocking that it was at a Nazarene Bible College, and he was their theology speaker for the year at their conference. But in listening to him, he redefined Christianity and said that when Jesus came, it was not about saving people, it was about saving the earth, and now it's up to us to do it. Of course, that was right after we'd seen a film by the Sierra Club, and we had heard songs sung that any Wiccan priest could sing. And I'm not making any exaggeration in saying that, folks. It was shocking, disheartening. I already knew some of it and what it was going to be, but when you were there listening to it, it was amazing. And I looked around and I thought, there are Bible college students here. There are PhD professors in the audience. I knew that for a fact. There are pastors here. And it appeared to me by the comments and by what was said and done the rest of those 3 days that they had all bought into this line of thinking. It all comes back to, will we follow the Bible or not?
And, of course, whether the Bible is valid or not, because that is the basis of the Christian belief of the inerrancy of the Scriptures. And if you don't want to accept the Bible, then, of course, you make up your own religion.
Yeah, exactly right. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, that is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. He's talking to his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, be instant, in season, out of season. And then he says, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And there's the Greek word for mythology right there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's the era we're living in right there. And the Christian who has his spiritual eyes and ears on, is sharp to what the Word of God says, will recognize these things when they come along. And, you know, frankly, the majority out there will think there's something wrong with us. They'll think that we're backwards, that we're judgmental, that, you know, all the different words that are used, but I'm not looking for the approval of men, and I hope the listeners aren't either. We're looking for what God says.
Amen to that. All right, fine. Well, certainly, you know, we find that this movement, this emergent church movement, is getting into so many of our major churches today, and the difficulty is that so much of it makes you feel good. So much of this is about meditation. It is about, of course, going into some sort of trances, walking through labyrinths, you know, lighting candles, focusing on the candles, altered states of consciousness. Do you think that the average Christian understands that they're opening their mind to dark and sinister spiritual forces when they do these things?
Well, Dr. Stan, you and I have both written books on the occult, and I know we've both done a lot of research in our ministries, and this stuff is right out of the occult. This is the mysticism that we find deep in the belly of the Catholic Church, for example. This is the mysticism that we've seen throughout the Middle Ages. This is the same stuff that Wicca and shamanism is built on, and yet it's being brought into our Bible colleges. I mean, we've got in my seminars now on the emergent church, I have a picture from a Nazarene Bible college. And again, I'm not picking on the Nazarenes, it's just that from the top down, Nazarene leadership seems to have been taken over by this in their Bible colleges and in the leadership of their of the seminaries as well. we have a picture of a labyrinth room at Tribeca Nazarene University in Nashville, where these students are sitting in the stations of the labyrinth. And I wonder how many of those students have they have no idea exactly what they bought into. Plus, we find that this kind of thing is being taught openly in the classroom right alongside of open theology. And I'm pretty sure you know what that is, that the open theism says that God knows the past and he lives in the present but has no understanding or idea of the future because he's made us somehow co-creators with him in the future. And, of course, that line of thinking destroys every shred of prophetic scripture in the Bible, that Jesus, Paul, and others were only taking educated guesses when they made prophetic statements in the Bible. This stuff's being taught as fact in Bible colleges today that were once sound theological, evangelical-style schools.
It reminded me of recently I got an email from one of our supporters over in Switzerland. You know, they were sort of chiding me because I said that some of our religious leaders had gone over to the dark side, and I'd made some remark about the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he said, you know, what's wrong with the Archbishop of Canterbury other than the fact he's just dressed up as a druid? And so I looked it up, and yes, the Archbishop of Canterbury got himself all dolled out in his druid apparatus. How could the leader of the angelic Anglican Church in Great Britain, and of course with strong ties to the church here, the Episcopalian Church here, be associated with the druid? You can't be a druid and a Christian. But if you're a druid, you could certainly do a lot of damage to Anglican Episcopalian beliefs. We got a real problem, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Eric as we approach the emerging church and what's happening to Christianity today. Go right ahead, Eric.
Dr. Stan, some of the questions...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protection of thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Right. Because the ultimate plan, and there is a master plan, has to do with the world government, a new world financial system, a new world currency, and the destruction of Christian beliefs. And there's no way, of course, you can join all religions together into this coming world religion, and you can, unless you can, destroy Christian doctrine. And, of course, our past president, George W. Bush, said, all gods, all religions, basically the same. The Christian worships the same God as the Muslim and the others do. And, of course, the Bible is not the inerrant word of God. This is the man who posed for 8 years as an evangelical Christian. Boy, he did a great job of hoodwinking the suckers, didn't he?
Well, tell you what, Dr. Stan, there is a whole group of evangelicals out there who are trying to claim that all religions are equal and that we just happen to be in one of them. That completely desecrates what Jesus said when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me." I'm coming back again to the conference I attended when I saw Brian McLaren last year, again for 3 days in Nampa, Idaho. He made some very interesting statements when he redefined Christianity in the Friday night meeting of that conference. He said the term or phrase kingdom of God was a political term and not a spiritual term. And he said if Jesus were here today, he'd be calling for a peace network, an ecosystem for God, or God's global love economy, and it was all about us making it come to pass. He also said that the word salvation is about us saving the planet. And he said the phrase the world means the earth, not the world. And to illustrate this point, at the end of this session, he asked people to come forward who felt so led to rebaptize themselves into the new Christianity and to put their hands in a tub of dirt so they could connect with what really needs to be saved in the world. I mean, it was absolutely shocking because these things go so far against what the Greek and Hebrew in the Bible say and what the church has taught for 2,000 years, and yet these people are being accepted in evangelical circles as if they have a handle on something that we completely missed. I also met with the author of The Shack. I had a few minutes alone with him and heard him speak for 3 times late last year in Portland, Oregon. And this is a case where this fellow has now denied the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ and has really created a completely different and false image for the Godhead, for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of other problems inside the shack. In fact, I'm currently working on a manuscript that will deal with the shack and have the biggest selling DVD we've had in years. Either the Emergent Church or the shack, they kind of run neck and neck, but the shack right now, because so many people are trying to warn their friends. I have friends who are Christian bookstore owners on a couple of occasions. They have, after talking with me, we've gone over to the shelf, and they have taken the shack off the shelf, and one fellow said, "I will never carry that again," and began to carry our material, and he didn't know what was in the book. He just knew a lot of people came to buy it. Christian bookstore owners can't read every book that comes their direction, but those who are discerning and those who catch on with what this is, we praise the Lord when every once in a while they wake up and they take it off their shelves and begin to warn people. By the way, this fellow was a pastor, and owns a bookstore in his community. He brought me into his church and promoted it throughout the community just to speak on the shack. And so I just thank God that when people do wake up and see what's happening, that they then want to warn others about it.
And I think that's really so important. Eric, I really believe, of course, unfortunately, we do not have, you know, the national audience with millions of listeners, but small programs such as ours, and multiplied many times over, are having an impact, and at least some Christians realize that Christianity is under attack today. There really is a conspiracy against God. If you don't like the use of the term, get out your Strong's Concordance and look up the word conspiracy. You'll find that our Lord used it over and over and over again in the Holy Scriptures. There is a conspiracy. There are those who would destroy belief in Christianity today. And they're really doing a pretty good job because they control the media and they control many of our seminaries and they control the minds and hearts of many of our so-called leading Christians who really are not Christians at all. They've abandoned belief in the faith. They've abandoned belief in the teachings of the Holy Scriptures, and they're simply following a different God, a pagan God. And, of course, others, of course, are going to progressively undermine the Christian beliefs here, confuse a lot of Christians, and I really fear for the souls of so many people are going to be misled in the coming weeks and months and years. This is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Eric Barger, and Eric, go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, there's so much to say, and so many of these leaders that we want to express what they believe and so on. I'm just going to just read a couple of quotes here I think are very important. One of the main things inside the emergent church is that they do not believe in hell, and they believe that any emphasis upon hell by the church has been counterproductive. Now, it's been said many times, and I'll say it again, that Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. But Brian McLaren, in his book, Everything Must Change, and folks, that title is aptly, that's an apt title for his book, Everything Must Change. He's talking about everything must change in the church. On page 144, he says, many of us have been increasingly critical in recent years of popular American eschatology in general and conventional views of hell in particular. Simply put, if we believe that God will ultimately enforce his will by forced domination and will eternally torture those who resist that domination, then torture and domination become not only permissible but in some way godly. These people have tried to and are trying to explain away the idea that there is a hell for those who do not accept Christ and do not repent of their sins during this life. If I were Satan, this is exactly the kind of stuff that I would want presented by people who claim to be Bible-believing or evangelical Christians. These people, many of them, would never say they're Bible-believers. About making converts, in his book, A Generous Orthodoxy, on page 293, he says, this is Brian McLaren again, I don't believe making disciples must equal making adherence to the Christian religion. He said it may be advisable in many, if not all, circumstances to help people become followers of Jesus, yet remain in their Buddhist, Hindu, and Jewish context. This may be hard for you to agree with, but frankly, he said it's not easy to be a follower in many Christian religious contexts either. So he's encouraging, just as the author of The Shack encourages, that Jesus didn't come to save people out of different beliefs. He just came to enhance their lives. This is kind of the thinking that's out there.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Eric Barger. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Eric Barger. And Eric, before we go on, I want you to get your website out and so people would know how they can get in touch with you and your ministry.
That's great. Thank you, Dr. Stan. The website is just simply my name, ericbarger.com, ericbarger.com. And it is just an advertisement for our ministry. It is a resource center. There's over 1,000 pages of information and documentation there. And if folks log on to our homepage at ericbarger.com, in the upper left-hand corner, they'll see a piece of yellow text that says Radio Listeners. Click here. And if they'll do that, we'd be glad to send them a free CD and an information pack to any of your listeners. All they have to do is just fill out the form on the next page, and we promise to guard their information and never share it with others. And so if folks would like to have information...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead.
Okay. They can certainly go to our site and get the information about us and, of course, download lots of stuff on the Emergent Church and on the Shack, on spiritual warfare, the New Age movement, and all the other issues and topics that I deal with.
And Eric is a wonderful, wonderful source of information. What if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Eric? Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment for Eric, who's on the front lines of this battle, giving talks all across America. In fact, he's hard to get hold of because we've tried in the past many times. He's away for weeks at a time, but preaching the Word of God, and there is a demand for it in many of the churches. So certainly go ahead with your discussion of this effort to undermine the fundamentals of Christian faith.
Well, the mysticism and New Age angle that's made its way in through contemplative prayer and, as we talked about, through labyrinths and through meditation techniques and centering techniques, this is throughout the emergent movement. The idea of Eastern yoga and the chanting and so on that we see being heralded by these people who claim to be Christians. In fact, last April 2008, a year ago, the Dalai Lama came to Seattle. Many of you may remember that. It was national news. And two of the main emergent leaders, Doug Padgett and probably the best known of the emergent leaders, Rob Bell, who has a church of 10,000 people in Grand Rapids, Michigan, they were part of the participants with the Dalai Lama, along with virtually every other cultist and world religious leader you can imagine. They had Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, Baha'is, etc., all on the same platform. This last day of this five-day meeting that took place in Seattle, in fact, they had 103,000 people at Quest Field, where the Seattle Seahawks play football. The last day was all about the building of a world religion. And they bussed Seattle school children into this meeting with taxpayer dollars to go and listen to the Dalai Lama, who is for sure a political leader, but is the leader of the Tibetan Buddhists in the world. And right alongside of him is Rob Bell and Doug Padgett, and they're both listed in the conference promotion as being evangelical Christian leaders.
Well, the evangelical movement that they're leading is certainly not the evangelical movement that I believe in and that you're believing in. But the average school child is not discerning enough. And doesn't it sound wonderful? We're all brothers. All religions are the same. We can all worship the same God. We can all get along together. And it really sounds great, but of course it's a lie. Because if that's true, then the Bible itself is a lie. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but through me. We're just going to have to throw out a lot of those things in the Bible, because obviously they aren't true if this contingency is true. Well, I don't accept it at all. I believe Christianity is a unique religion. I think it's the most wonderful religion. I think it gives the greatest opportunity for certainly salvation to the large numbers of people. But there are people who hate Christianity and want to destroy it today. And some of them are working at the highest levels of the Christian church. And I would simply give one example of Ted Haggard, who was the head of the 30 million person National Association of Evangelicals. 30 million people belonged to the National Association of Evangelicals, and Ted Haggard was there. And, of course, we've seen some interviews with him recently, a pitiful figure. But he was actively using that position to undermine the Christian faith, writing letters to Congress, pretending to represent 30 million Americans, you know, evangelicals, saying, well, I mean, you shouldn't do this, you can do that, or, and using his position to destroy the foundation of Christianity. But you're never going to hear that from Oprah Winfrey or so many other people who would try to, of course, make you sympathetic for this man who betrayed his family, who betrayed his religion, who betrayed our God.
You know, Dr. Stan, his replacement hasn't really helped us any either. Leith Anderson has been on record as supporting the idea that Allah and Jehovah are one and the same at Yale University. In this very failed and feeble effort to try to amalgamate Christians and Muslims together. And he's not alone, of course. Rick Warren signed that paper, Robert Shuler signed that paper, and many of them. But Leith Anderson, the head of the National Association of Evangelicals, claims that Allah and Jehovah are one and the same. These folks are not thinking with the Bible.
Well, of course, the thing is
that politics instead.
Ted Haggard would never have been in that position if he hadn't had a lot of very powerful people who wanted to destroy Christianity behind him. You don't get to be the head of an organization like the National Association of Evangelicals with supposedly 30 million Americans, unless, of course, you've got a lot of homosexuals and drug users and people who hate God, supporting your candidacy. Understand, they've infiltrated Christianity to the very top. Why would anybody want to be the leader of an organization like that? So you can do the maximum amount of harm. Unfortunately, in many instances, that's true. Yes, we do have some good Christian leaders, but isn't it amazing that none of them would speak out against George Bush and his doctrine of torturing, even torturing people to death, to get information even if they didn't have information, even if they were innocent, go ahead and torture them. And where was the outcry from our Christian leaders? It was deafening in its silence. But you go right ahead, Eric.
It's exactly right. That is exactly what's happened. This is a repeat of the destroying of the mainline denominations that are now termed as liberal denominations. It is a repeat, but now it's happening in so-called Bible-believing circles. Frankly, Dr. Stan, I never dreamed in my lifetime that I would be talking about this and saying these things. And I've been actively involved, though I am not a Nazarene as far as it's not my background, and I don't hold papers at the Nazarene Church. I've been helping people inside the Nazarene Church, factions from all over the country, to try to expose what's being taught in their Bible colleges and what the leadership of that denomination have bought into. And this week I've been in a Nazarene church here in Missouri, as I mentioned, and actively involved with trying to help them. They are beside themselves, yet they are standing in one stead opposed to these things. And that's really the answer right there, folks, that if you feel like that it's all coming unglued around you, you're not alone. There are other Christians out there who are willing to stand up and say the Bible's the truth, and I'm going to hang on to it to the very end. And though the emergents may claim to be Christians or quote Scripture occasionally or use the same terms that we may relate to and claim to be relevant and pragmatic, they are not preaching the first century gospel of Jesus Christ. And they've allowed their experiences and their feelings and their good works to become a master to them instead of their servant. And I've come to the conclusion, and I know you have, Dr. Stan, and many listeners, that the old reliable places that I once thought I would always be able to trust are no longer trustworthy, whether it be some of the mainline Christian denominations, whether it be some of the mainline publishers, even some of the ministries that are out there that I once thought I'd be able to trust. This is the age when we need to test everything that comes along. And frankly, I have stopped referring to myself as an evangelical. I'm now telling audiences that I'm calling myself a Bible believer, because if Rob Bell and Tony Jones and Doug Padgett and Brian McLaren are evangelicals, I'm not. And I didn't leave them. They left me. It's just they're using that term and referring to things that have nothing to do with the evangelical Bible-believing faith that I once understood, that I once thought I would always be a part of. I've decided, being a Bible believer, you can't mess that one up, so that's why I've decided to call myself that rather than an evangelical.
I'm sure they'll find some means of destroying even the belief in the Bible. Of course, you have to understand the largest Christian publisher in the United States today is Rupert Murdoch. When he was growing up in Australia, he was known as Rupert the Red because he kept a bust of Lenin on his desk. He controls Zondervan, and of course they published Rick Warren's book. I mean, I don't know what, 15, 20 million copies of Rick Warren's books went out. It pays to go along with the ruling establishment. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you wanted to destroy Christianity, would you attack it from without, or would you infiltrate it from within and destroy the very basis of the doctrines of Christianity? Go right ahead.
That's exactly right. By the way, Rick Warren is now claiming that 50 million people have read his book, and I don't know if that's just him and somewhat evangelistic numbers, I'm not sure, but that's what he's saying. And I wanted to add that Brian McLaren is published by Zondervan as well. One Christian bookstore owner that I talked to about the shack and about also about McLaren's books that were on his shelf, he took me over, basically by the shoulder, took me over and showed me other books on his shelf in his Christian bookstore that he would not be able to purchase at discount unless he kept The Purpose-Driven Life and the books by Brian McLaren and other people who are just, frankly, heretics on his shelf because of the way the Christian publishing industry is set up today, and I think part of that probably comes out as honored.
Well, I know we've some of the largest publishers, you know, when we want to get, if I were a bookstore, I could get books at 40% off. If I was a Christian ministry, I could get it at 20% off. 20% off, you can't even afford to carry the books with all the expenses that are involved. But they know that. They're really first trying to destroy, you know, our efforts and our ability to get good Christian literature to the average individual. So Christianity is under attack today. It's not accidental. They know what they're doing. But behind that, I really believe there's a supernatural intelligence. There is an organized effort to destroy the tenets of the church. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And of course, if you're out there and you have a question for Eric on this subject, which I think is a vitally important subject, why, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. What sort of response do you get as you go into churches with this message, Eric? Because it's controversial, and certainly, you know, we're not supposed to criticize other Christians, and ordinarily I don't put programs on that deal with differences in doctrine and the difference between the Calvinists and Arminians, and there's certainly things as far as when the Lord is coming again, you know, and everybody's got a different idea of prophecy, and I think these are counterproductive things to put on public radio. I think they're fascinating to discuss among ourselves, but on this issue, I think that it's so vitally important that we warn people about what is really going on. And there is an effort to destroy the foundation of Christian faith. You destroy the foundation of Christian faith, you destroy the very foundation upon which the United States and the freedom of our people were founded. And that's really what it's about. If they can destroy Christianity, they can destroy America. If they can destroy America, they can take control of the world. So go right ahead, Eric.
Right. That's exactly right. You ask what kind of response I'm getting. Well, most pastors who have me in, they are already on the page with me, and they understand what I'm going to do, and they want their people to hear it in other words and from a different person and to help substantiate what they're already doing. In some cases, there's maybe a concern, but without a whole lot of documentation behind it, and so they bring me in to help document the concern they have. Almost every week we have people come to the meetings who have heard about it that maybe are not a part of the church that has taken the chance to bring me in because, hey, let's face it, the stuff I do talk about would be, today it's controversial to say the Bible is the only way and Jesus is the only way, and sadly it's becoming more controversial in Christian circles to make those kind of statements, as obvious by the popularity of people like Brian McLaren and Doug Padgett and others who have openly stated pro-homosexual things, et cetera, et cetera. You know, It's a mixed bag because people come in and they think suddenly, as you mentioned, we're being very judgmental and hypercritical. I'm fascinated with all the different views about the rapture and the end times, Dr. Stan, but I agree with you. It's probably counterproductive to have it on the air. But in this case, we're talking about the very heart and life of Christianity being cut out of it. And we're not talking about peripheral views that maybe have validity on both sides of an issue. These are issues of the central and essential doctrines of the faith. And I've always said that I can fellowship with people from different backgrounds about the peripheral issues that we might disagree about. But when it comes to the virgin birth, the blood atonement, salvation by grace, and the very word of God itself, and many of the other essentials of the faith, I can't budge on those things. And when we're talking about emergent philosophy and theology, we're talking about people who do not believe the foundational doctrines of Christianity, yet they're being heralded and accepted in our world as Christians.
And what's so difficult for people to understand is that whether these people know it or whether perhaps they don't even understand, but I believe men can be taken over by evil, and sometimes willfully, sometimes without even their knowledge. But there is a force of evil in the world today. And, of course, one thing he would target would be the men of God. But, of course, he's gotten his people into the major seminaries. This is where they can do the most damage, because here you have idealistic people who want to come in, and many of them want, of course, to teach the Word of God. And the first thing they understood, taught, is the Word of God is not dependable. You know, they are taught, you know, that the Bible is not accurate. It is simply the opinions of men. And once you accept that philosophy, that the Bible is not the foundation of our faith, then anything goes. And that's the tragedy of today.
If we watch too many of the documentary channels on television, we'll certainly get that view, because they have a vent against the Bible and against Christianity. Anything to debunk the Christians, it seems to be the way the world wants to go. You know, Dr. Stan, in nearly 30 years of being a Christian, and nearly all of that time in full-time ministry, I've never become disgruntled or disenchanted with the authentic message of the Bible. It is never any less thrilling to see people come to Christ. It's never any less thrilling to hear how God has moved in someone's life. And that it seems to me like in the view of the emergent church, that the premise of the Christian message being out of date and the idea that it must be rediscovered to reach the postmoderns in the world today, that's completely flawed. The only hope that people have is the authentic message of Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Well, our guest is Eric Barger, and of course you want to get his material. It's excellent. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy.
only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe fresh vegetables, ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Recent CD, a talk given by Joanna Michelson at our last conference on her experience with the supernatural. We have her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. We have a four-tape set on the supernatural. We have a four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. We have a book, Hostage to the Devil, written by a Catholic priest about exorcisms. Fascinating. It was one of the first books I ever read on this subject back in 1980. And then, of course, we have the four-tape set, the Wisdom of Malachi Martin, the Catholic Church, who was a confidant of Pope John Paul XXIII. He tells you about the satanic ceremony held in the basement of the Vatican. He was a Catholic, but he recognized that the satanic church had infiltrated the Catholic faith. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, it's infiltrated the Protestant faith as well. We've got a great four-tape set. Whatever Happened to Hell? Whatever Happened to Hell, I think you'll find it fascinating. 2 hours of interviews with a doctor who really wasn't a Christian. He was a cardiologist, but several of his patients died. He resuscitated them, and they didn't go down this beautiful tunnel into this wonderful place. They went to hell, and they were frightened to death. And this actually led him to begin looking into this whole concept of hell and led to his conversion to Christianity. Four-tape set, Whatever Happened to Hell? It's one of the things that we don't talk about often, but maybe we should talk about a lot more, because all of us are going to die one day, and the question is, where are we going to spend eternity? Well, we do hope that you want to get some of our DVDs, like, of course, we have a book on the Diary of a Devil Hunter, a gentleman who was actually involved in the occult, wanted to get the information out, was involved with satanic organizations. We've got a great book, Satanic Crimes. It'll take you into the truth about the Son of Sam killer and about Manson. I mean, what was really behind them? What was the connection between David Berkowitz and Charles Manson? And of course, what energized both of those groups? And so we have so much other information out there. Got a great new DVD. It's called The Deadly Assassins. And, of course, you'll hear our interview with people who actually were professional assassins, trained as assassins by our own government. You need to get this information. Now, of course, one of the interviews there in that four-tape set is with Roger Wilcox, who interviewed the man who was assigned the task of killing General George Patton. We have his book, Target Patton, but you'll hear our interview with him in that four-tape set on the deadly assassins. We have a four-tape set on the execution of Martin Luther King. He was killed. There was a trial, and of course the jury found the government was primarily responsible, the CIA, primarily responsible for the murder of Martin Luther King, and not a word in the controlled media. We have the four-tape set on the murder of Bobby Kennedy. We have a book, Who Killed Bobby, and, of course, the DVD, RFK Must Die. We have a, so we have a book, we have a DVD, we have the four tape set information. You're not going to get anyplace else. We have the, of course, the four tape set, a DVD, and a video on the Liberty. And the effort on the part of high government officials to kill 288 American servicemen on the ship, the Liberty. It was set off the coast of the Sinai Desert during the 67 war, and the plan was to sink the ship, kill everybody on board, and use it for justification to get into war. You have to get into wars. That's how we got this America into the Spanish-American War, and how we, of course, got America into the First World War with the sinking of the Lusitania, and, of course, the attack on Pearl Harbor, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which never occurred, and 58,000 American boys died for absolutely nothing. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.